520, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Thursday, December 4th on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, Alaska's literacy legacy is highlighted on a new PBS program. But first, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is mapping out a strategy for considering school closures in anticipation of future funding shortfalls. The school board got its first look at a proposed three-year plan during a work session ahead of Monday's board meeting. The school district is projecting a budget shortfall of about $7.5 million heading into next fiscal year. The district says closing schools could help make up the difference. When considering what schools, if any, to close, District Superintendent Clayton Holland says the district will consider multiple factors, like whether a school is the only one in a community, its projected enrollment, transportation needs, impact on the local economy, and the pupil-to-teacher ratio, also called PTR.
Projected revenues are not adequate to cover expenditures, and consolidation remains a viable long-term option that helps to protect PTR and maintain learning opportunities for students.
Monday's presentation comes on the heels of a budget cycle where school closures were top of mind. Parents, teachers, and students from Sterling Elementary rallied in support of their school after the district considered closure. The board generally supported the three-year plan presented by district administration, but all agreed they wanted more information about each scenario before signing off. Under the proposal, the district would review two schools per year for possible closure, pulling from an existing list. The presentation given to the board suggests Seward Middle and Paul Banks Elementary schools would be first up in the rotation, but Holland says that's not necessarily the case. Micah Van Buskirk represents the Eastern Peninsula on the school board, which includes Seward. She says closing the middle school would harm a community already bearing the brunt of strained school resources. But district officials have previously said closing a school could concentrate more resources into a community's remaining school. Van Buskirk says that's what the district should emphasize.
Seward does not want to close our middle school, period. Seward could be interested in having a conversation about improved opportunities by closing the middle school, not just as a cost savings.
Data presented to the board earlier this year estimates the potential cost savings of closing certain schools. The district estimates it would save more than $500,000 the first year after closing Seward Middle. It expects it could save another $800,000 the first year after closing Paul Banks Elementary in Homer. But those savings would diminish over time due to a provision in state law. Because state education funding is tied to enrollment, the state intervenes after a school closes to prevent a sudden drop-off in funding for relocated students. 5 years after closing a school, the savings drop to District estimates say 5 years after closing either school, savings would drop to roughly a quarter of the original amount. One consolidation plan is already underway. The school board signed off on a plan to combine Soldotna and Redoubt Elementary schools into the vacant Soldotna Prep School building. That charge was led by the Kenai Peninsula Borough, which has struggled to complete a package of bond projects amid surging costs. Board President Jason Tauriainen emphasized a decision to close a school would only come after a community meeting with district administration.
There will be an open discussion. Administration is not just going to go off and shut things down. We're going to have discussion. There'll be action before something like that happens.
That was the case for Nikolaevsk, a Russian Old Believer village about 10 miles east of Anchor Point. Earlier this year, district administrators held a meeting at the school to talk about a possible closure for cost savings. The board later voted to close the school. Closing a school has long-term implications. State law says any school closed because of declining enrollment cannot reopen for at least 7 years. The Kenai Peninsula is far from being the only district in Alaska closing schools to save money. The Fairbanks School Board voted earlier this year to close three schools. The Anchorage School District also shuttered two schools. And finally, a program celebrating Alaska's storytelling tradition debuted Wednesday afternoon on social media, YouTube, and the PBS website. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, it's part of a PBS series that examines the literacy legacy of all 50 states.
Reading Road Trip Alaska is the sixth installment of the PBS series, which examines America's writers, poets, and storytellers, past and present. Former Alaska State Librarian Patience Fredrickson worked with PBS producers on the Alaska program. She says they wanted to know how each state was preserving its literary legacy.
They wanted to know five or six historical authors that were important to the literary heritage of your state. They wanted five or six contemporary authors who could be interviewed.
After some back and forth over who should be selected, Fredrickson and the producers came up with a list of historic Alaska literary figures. They include Jack London, Margaret Murray, Frederica de Laguna, and poet John Haynes. She says they also finally settled on a diverse list of contemporary storytellers.
And they interviewed a number of authors, including Seth Cantner, Dana Stabenow, Nancy Lord, Michaela Goad, who is an award-winning children's illustrator, and Velma Wallace.
She said the producers were very interested in Wallace's works, one of which was just adapted for the big screen. She's an Athabascan from Fort Yukon.
Two of her books, I believe, are going to be highlighted, Two Old Women and Raising Ourselves.
Fredrickson said the producers also asked questions about the historical places that serve as relics of the writer's legacy.
They wanted to do literary landmarks like authors' homes, that sort of thing.
She said they're also interested in John Haynes's cabin, located south of Fairbanks, and the old bus where hapless wanderer Chris McCandless died. She tried to discourage them from featuring the bus because of the controversy surrounding it, but they insisted, citing the popularity of John Krakauer's 1996 book Into the Wild that recounted McCandless's final days living in the bus.
That is really a nationally known literary landmark in Alaska.
Fredrickson said the Reading Road Trip producers also will feature a few of the places where the works of Alaska authors are available.
They wanted to do interesting bookstores, and then they wanted to do libraries. We suggested the Fairbanks Public Library, the log cabin one that used to be down on First Street.
The program producers will touch on the Noel Wien Library and the North Pole Library, as well as other libraries and bookstores around the state. The Reading Road Trip series is being produced through a partnership with the Library of Congress and its Centers for the Book affiliates in all 50 states. Fredrickson is president of the Alaska Center for the Book in Anchorage. The Reading Road Trip Alaska episode will be available online beginning at 4 p.m. today on the PBS Books Facebook Live page and also on YouTube, the PBS app, and the PBS.org website. For KUAC News, I'm Tim Ellis.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Tim Ellis in Delta Junction. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.